This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. This week, here it comes. After a decade-long absence, adventure archaeologist Indiana Jones is back on the big screen. This time he's hunting for a crystal skull stolen from a mythical lost city in the Amazon. And if he finds the skull and returns it to the city's temple, he'll be able to control its power. I don't know about you, I haven't seen the movie, but my money's on Indy. What about that crystal skull? Is there any archaeological truth to the legend behind the movie? For the rest of the hour, we're going to look at the film and whether Indiana Jones' quest for the missing crystal skull has any basis in fact, or is it all just a movie fiction? Well, who cares if it's a good movie, but we'd like to talk about the science behind it. And if you'd like to talk about it, our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Jane McLaren Walsh is an anthropologist at the Smithsonian's National Museum of Natural History in Washington. She's also a contributor to Archaeology magazine, and she wrote the cover story in the current issue on crystal skulls. And she joins us today from her office at the museum. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
Have you seen the movie?
No, not yet.
It just opened yesterday, I think, or today, or something like that. So it's hard to have seen it, but I think many of us have never heard about the crystal skulls until the movie came out, but they are something that's wrapped up in history, mythology, lore, things like that. Tell us a little bit about them. What are they?
They're essentially human skulls carved out of quartz.
Rocks.
Yes.
Quartz crystal. Yes. And how? Where do they ostensibly come from?
Up until recently, there maybe have been 10 or 12 in museum collections, and most of them are small, but there are two large ones, mm-hmm. One in the British Museum and one in Paris. Mm-hmm. And they're all were supposed to have come from Mexico and be Aztec in origin.
When you say supposed to, I see a little bit of skepticism.
Just a bit.
Are these then more like trinkets than actual worth, you know, very, very valuable crystal skulls?
Well, my theory is that the small ones that are about an inch or an inch and a half in diameter probably were made in Mexico, but in the 19th century, and were made to sell to European and North American tourists.
Oh, my
those
goodness.
Those eventually wound up in museum collections.
So they're not ancient?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
At
least all of the ones that I've looked at closely, they're all carved with modern tools.
Tourist tchotchkes, we might call.
Sort of. Early airport art.
And what about the big one?
Well, the big ones sort of appear in Europe, in Paris. Mm-hmm. And both of them are sold by the same French antiquities dealer, which sort of aroused some suspicion in me.
Now, were the little ones, did they start out as skulls or were they something else? Because they have holes drilled in them, don't they?
Yeah, I think, and I'm not sure about this, but I think some of them may have been found by local people and may actually be pre-Columbian beads. Not as skulls, but just as smooth, round beads with holes drilled in them.
And then someone in the tourist industry said, yeah, pick them up. And
improved upon them in the 19th century.
Good choice of words. Improved for the tourist trade. There really is no basis, in fact, for these being ancient Aztec, Mayan, or whatever.
Not skulls. That I know. I mean, the Aztecs and the Mayans did carve crystal, but essentially because rock crystal or quartz is so hard, it's very difficult to carve. So most of what we find in archaeological context are beads or small lip plugs that are basically just ground into shape.
Are there any on display, you know, in museums as the real thing?
Yes.
You're afraid to say so. I can see that.
I may not be allowed back in, but yes, there are a few. A few museums still consider them to be actual pre-Columbian objects, or some think that maybe they're colonial objects.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there one in a Paris museum that's on display during the world premiere of the movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the French have been doing some very interesting research on their skull.
Really?
And they believe it to be 19th century also. But the people in the Louvre who have been doing some scientific research think they're able to date the crystal. So I don't want to sort of jump ahead on them because they plan to publish this.
But they're not going to predate it back to Aztec time.
No.
No, they may maybe a store on the West Side in 1928 or something. Something.
No, well, they purchased their skull in 1878, so it's at least that old.
Right. That was a time where all these antiquities were rolling around the world, weren't they?
Yes.
The Egyptians and everything else were getting shuffled around.
Yes.
Let's see if we can get a phone call in or two. 1-800-989-8255. Tom in Baltimore.
Yeah, hi, Ira. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Love your show. I'm the owner of the Senator Theater in Baltimore, Maryland. And for the weekend of the 30th through June 1st, we're going to have Joanne Parks and her crystal skull, that is the thing of fable, called Max. And the owner, Joanne, acknowledges readily that most of the crystal skulls, if not all of the other ones that she's seen, are modern. But it appears Max has so far held up to scrutiny with regards to tool marks or modern carving techniques, and it may very well be ancient. And I'd just like to see what your expert has to say.
Can you take the truth?
Sure.
Jane?
Well, I haven't examined Max closely, but I have been in proximity to him. And I think Max is a modern carving from what's called milky quartz, which is essentially what the Smithsonian skull is made from. And these seem to be appearing in Mexico and kind of perhaps even northern Mexico or the American Southwest, starting in the 1970s and 80s.
Well, you know, I've seen this object, and it's made out of different types of quartz that have been fused down in the earth, and supposedly the crystal carvers have looked at this and told Joanne on numerous occasions that you can't carve that kind of crystal with modern tools. It would shatter.
You think they had better tools than we have?
Well, they may have sanded it down over that. There's isn't there some theories about that?
I don't think so.
All right, Tom. Good luck on your premiere.
Thank you.
Don't tell us how it ends.
All right.
Take care. 1-800-989-8255. How can you tell? Can you give we lay people an idea of how you can tell how old it is and whether the carving is new or ancient?
Well, one of the things I did when I first got interested in the skull, principally when it sort of arrived on our doorstep, was I did a lot of historical research, and I discovered this fact that the same person sold most of the skulls. So when I contacted the British Museum, I discovered that they were already in the process of doing a series of scientific tests on their skull. So we formed a partnership and did a joint study of the British Museum skull, the Smithsonian skull, and we borrowed the only large carved quartz object from Mexico that has ever really come out of an archaeological context. So we wanted to compare the tool marks and the methods of manufacture. And this was really, initial work was really done by Margaret Sachs and Ian Freestone, looking at tool marks under light microscope and also scanning electron microscope. And then Andrew Rankin and Nigel Meeks looked at the inclusions in the quartz, trying to decide perhaps what the source was.
Right.
And strangely enough, the skull may have had something to do with this, but this is a paper that has been in the works for nearly a decade. And today I received a PDF of it from the Journal of Archaeological Science. So it's about to come out.
Saying what?
Saying what? Saying that, well, the title of it is The Origin of Two Purportedly Pre-Columbian Mexican Crystal Skulls.
Purportedly.
Yes.
That tells us the answer to the, that's the abstract right there.
They're not.
Yeah. Can you date the rock? I mean, is there any way to date the rock this, even if the quartz is that old? But
well,
quartz is very old, you know?
I suppose you can date the rock, but that wouldn't, that would just tell you how old the rock is.
Right.
But the French think they're able to date the carving.
Ah.
So, and that paper is about to come out also. I think it's coming out in Nature.
And this
it's wonderful that all this work is sort of finally seeing the light of day.
And what a coincidence that's coming out at this time.
Sarah
in Portland, welcome to Science Friday. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. Well, I was just wondering if just the presence of these skulls kind of in, you know, context of our the world of anthropology for the time that they were thought original, if there's been any damage to the historical record with them in existence.
What do you mean by damage?
With the historical record, as an anthropologist myself, a lot of research is based from that record. And I was just kind of curious if it's kind of either there have been archaeological digs that shouldn't have taken place because of these skulls, if there's been research that shouldn't have been done in a certain way because of these skulls, if there's been any kind of lingering damage that they've done to the historical record.
Before we go, let me remind everybody, this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flato with Jane McLaren Walsh. Dr. Walsh, any damage to the historical record?
I don't think so. I suspect that a lot of people who say they've dug these crystal skulls up have actually purchased them. And the amount of research I've done on skulls in private collections is not very great, but most of the information that comes out of their so-called documentation is really just anecdotal.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to one quick question from Kevin in Chicago. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Ira?
Hi there.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's some frustration with the pseudo-documentaries that Lester Hall just did one on the skulls that would legitimize the magical powers of these skulls or even the authenticity.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a great deal of frustration.
Well, even if these skulls are fake, are they still worth displaying at all?
Yeah, well, as an artifact, I think they're legitimate artifacts. They're just not what they're purported to be. But they tell us a story, and oftentimes the story is more about ourselves than anything else.
Mm-hmm. So are you expecting now to be inundated?
I've already been inundated.
By us and other people?
I don't know. I'm hoping that once the movie is out, this will all die down.
Not get worse, huh?
I can get back to work.
What do you work on?
Mostly I do research in Mexican archaeological collections.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very interested in 19th century collections because I think they tell us a lot about how we sort of absorb knowledge and how expertise evolves and they're very interesting to me.
But a film like this, even though it causes a lot of chatter, it also piques people's interest in archaeology.
Yes, that's true.
It reminds us that there are archaeologists out there. They're interesting and exciting things to discover, and maybe they will do some doing research on the skulls. They might learn something.
Yes, they will.
That's a positive thing that comes out of culture in the films.
I'm definitely a fan of Indiana Jones.
Archaeologists really like him?
No. Hardly any of us carry whips.
Well, how about the hat?
Well, actually, a friend of mine recently gave me a hat, so but it's too small, so I'm not wearing it.
Do you have the whip, too? You don't have the whip? How about the six-shooter?
No.
Can you run as fast as he does at 60 years old?
Well, I'm 60 years old, and probably I can.
Are the places that you dig up as dangerous as the places he goes into physically, you know, crawling in the spaces?
Mostly I do indoor archaeology.
Oh.
So, no, they're not dangerous.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us, Dr. Walsh.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Dr. Jane McLaren Walsh is an anthropologist at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C., and contributed to Archaeology Magazine, which has on its cover all kinds of stuff about this crystal skulls. And, of course, she's going to be inundated with stuff. And our phone calls about the movie, which opens up this week. Maybe we'll take a look at the movie and come back and have a critique about some other parts of the film. A lot of Indiana Jones things that seem kind of wacky. A lot of science films. A lot of films that have science in it, I say, or purport to have science in it. We'll be trying to critique them as we go along the way and find these science films. And if you have any ideas, send us an idea for what film you'd like us to critique, what kind of science might be in them. And we'll get our science and arts teams on it and see what we can come up with. This program is produced by Karen Vergoth and senior producer Annette Heist. Charles Berquist is our director. Flora Lichtman is our producer for digital media. Shuman Ma, our Metcalf fellow. Our intern is Christopher Intagliata. Josh Rogerson is our technical director, and he's also at the controls here in New York. And we had help today from Glenn Alexander at WBUR in Boston. If we also had help in Second Life from Lynn Collins, Dave Andrews, Jeff Corbin, and the University of Denver. And if you have questions or comments, surf over to our website at Science Friday. You can also log into Second Life, where we have a bunch of folks there you can talk with and also get a Science Friday T-shirt. Also, we are podcasting and blogging and looking for your videos. Maybe you're an archaeologist. We're looking for videos of digs. You have a dig? You've been on it as an archaeologist? You have some video? You want to send it to us? We'll put it together, put it up with the dozens of other videos we have on our websites that get distributed to science museums and public radio stations around the country. So we hope to do that for you and create more videos. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.